B-Pod Studios.
Include the preseason, which I know you don't. But if you look at all of that, that should be a pretty impressive number when it comes to this defense and how they played. Yet after the game, and we'll play this for you in 1 second here, Seth Joyner talked about the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, somebody that he has absolutely had his eyes on the entire season and pointed the finger at him for the entire season.
Just a bit.
Just a wee bit. And we're going to play that for you right now coming up on 97.
Seth Joyner want to be the defensive coordinator of the Eagles in 2019? 610.
Yes. I'll just go ahead and answer that. Yes. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Bagster Dumpster in the Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Without further ado, on Eagles post game live yesterday, his opening statement, Seth Joyner talked about defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz.
I can't even blame the players here. I can't blame the defensive players for this. You know, and there was injuries and a lot of things that transpired today, but I put this loss solely on the shoulders of Jim Schwartz, because as many times as this has happened, as many times as we've had a lead and given it up, okay, we can talk about the Titans game and the Panthers game and almost giving away the Rams game after having, you know, great leads. After all of those instances, we didn't learn a thing, because we came out and we still played the same style of defense every single time we got into a lead, and it always came back to bite us in the behind. And today, for the first time this year, the Philadelphia Eagles were not able to overcome Jim Schwartz's ineptitude at calling defenses, in my opinion.
Ineptitude!
But wait a second, he said for the first time this year they weren't able to overcome it.
I think what he meant was the first time in this stretch.
Okay.
Like, in all honesty, like, I think that's what he really meant.
By saying that they were winning in spite of him.
Right.
Okay.
And here's what he's referencing in relevance to the game last night. He's referencing the 3rd and 9. So he's referencing the fact that the Saints were 8 for 15 on third down conversions this game overall. And there was something like, I think, 6 for 8 in the second half. 5 times in the game, the Saints faced a deficit of 3rd and 5 or more and were able to convert or at least set up a 4th down conversion. There was a 3rd and 9 situation in the second quarter. Bang, Drew Brees hits Thomas for 7 yards. It sets up a 4th and goal from the 2-yard line. That's when Kirkwood scored the touchdown. Then there was the 3rd and 16 in the third quarter. Bang, Thomas, 20 yards. Then there was a 3rd and 13 in the fourth quarter. Bang, Thomas, 22 yards. Like it was nothing. And then he recalls instances like against the Titans where the Eagles had a 4th and 15 situation in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The Titans convert, and the next thing you know, they score the game-winning touchdown. So there has been time. The Panthers game, there are instances like that. A lot of times throughout the season, the Eagles defense could not get off the field on 3rd and down when they're most expected to get off the field, and it changed the entire outcome of the game. But still, the bottom line with this game is the fact that this was a lot of bending and not breaking with only 20 points to the Saints, which is why you have to look at those offensive numbers and say, if you are going to blame anything in this game, the number one thing, if you have to blame one or the other, it has to be the offense. And that's what, Trey, you're getting into with Nick Foles and the way he underperformed in this game.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you go back and you look at that, oh man, I just clicked off on my thing, what I have for him. But when you go back and you look at the stats and his production, his completion, what I think, because his passing rating was, 60-something percent,
61, I think.
Yeah, 61% with 0 sacks and only 4 quarterback hits.
61.4. I believe in the first half it was 94, maybe?
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
But you finish up with 61%. And, I mean, you know, it just wasn't a good game for him. I mean, you know, it just reminded me of some of the old Foles from that Oakland game, you know, where he just looked extremely
scared. From last year.
Yeah, last year.
It seemed like his footwork was kind of off. Like, he was kind of resorting to, like, throwing off his back foot a little bit and thus under-throwing balls.
I'm telling you, the crowd noise got to Nick Foles. It wasn't just the offense. I don't know if he could hear himself think. I think it was one of those scenarios. And I'm not making excuses for him. I'm merely trying to explain why he struggled last night. And I don't think it was because he was injured. I don't think it was because of ribs. I don't think it was because of a back issue or anything like that. I don't think it was because an ankle was bothering him. I think he got rattled last night. And you mentioned the play late in the game, the play to Alshon Jeffrey, Trey, where you think he might have put a little too much zip on it because he was rushing the throw.
Yeah, I think because, you know, with this whole 2-minute warning thing, I don't know if he was just trying to hurry up and get it there. But it just seemed like that ball had a little bit more zip on it, especially when your other throws that you were throwing at the receivers were these big lofty, you know, a lot of air under the throws. Oof. And then that throw was supposed to be a nice little touch pass, but it seemed like that one came in there a little hot.
Maybe he was just Nick Foles yesterday. Maybe he was just exactly who Nick Foles is. Not the guy that took you to the Super Bowl last year. Not the guy that we've seen look horrendous at times. Maybe he's that guy that during the course of a game, and then put in parentheses, career, goes 11 for 13. And then follows that with going 7 for 18. Maybe that's why he's a career backup quarterback. You know what I mean? See, maybe his career was microcosmed into one game yesterday.
You see, I hate that point of view. And I'm going to tell you, I knew
it's true.
I know, because I knew I was going to hear it today. I knew I was going to hear that the minute he had a bad game, it was going to be like, oh, well, that's the real Nick Foles.
I'm not saying that. Okay. I believe me, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying in one game yesterday, maybe we saw what Nick Foles truly is. He can be the 11 for 13 for 145, terrific. Mm-hmm. What we saw last year through the playoffs, what we saw through the March at the end of this year, which we all love and adore, no question about it. When he gets hot like that, boy, it's hard to say there's anybody better. But we've also seen plenty of times the 7 for 18 for 56-yard guy. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
And he just looked rattled. I mean, he looked rattled. And it's not like he was getting hit.
No!
Yeah,
so what was the...
Trey, did you get a chance to look at that Aguilar play again? Because I think it was a heavy blitz from the Saints.
Yeah, they brought a blitz.
Is that more on Aguilar to realize that Foles is going to have to get rid of it a little quicker, or is that more on Foles getting rid of it a little too quick?
Now, Nelly's going to have to, when it comes to seeing the blitz, if it's coming from his side, that's something that he has to see.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's something that he has to see and to make an adjustment from there.
Because I think it did come from his side.
Yeah, so it's coming from his side, so he has to say, all right, you know what, safety or whatever it was, is blitzing, I need to get my hand around because it's something that could be coming in a little quick.
That was a touchdown, man.
That was a great pass.
That was a touchdown.
Was a great pass. You're right.
Ugh.
They say they weren't on the same page.
You want to hear a stat? I'll absolutely gut you.
Go for it.
Oh. This is courtesy of Hall.
Wait, don't gut me. What?
Yeah, like
prepare to be gutted, like, Mark.
Boy, do I.
When you hear this stat, you're like, that's why they lost.
Okay.
It's from Paul Hembikidis, who is the researcher for Get Up on ESPN, joins Mike's show every Wednesday, I think. The Saints yesterday went 4 for 5 on 3rd and 10 or longer. All other teams over the weekend went 2 for 23 on those chances. So that looks to Jim Schwartz. I know the secondary's depleted, but that's bad.
That's it. Fire him.
3rd and 10.
Seth Joyner.
I mean, this is when you boil down the season, the Tennessee game, the Titans game.
Yes.
Or I said the Tennessee and the Titans.
No, no, I know.
There was another
Panthers.
Roll, James. Yes. Keep going.
When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. But it was a season of 3rd and 4th and longs that were getting converted on us, and that's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. No, and then it proved it again yesterday. Desmond, Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Desmond?
Hey, thank you, guys, for taking my call. This is what I have to say, man. I don't like when you guys call the fan base soft, because Eagles get bullied yesterday. We get bullied totally. Because you can see it, like the frustration Nick Foles, even though that he do make some games, but yesterday they get bullied.
Okay. First off, Desmond, nobody called the fan base soft. The question I asked was, have we lost our venom?
We don't. We don't lose nothing. We see, got it. Yesterday can get me upset. Yes, I was really upset because the way we lost. But the question is, I don't know who is the offensive coordinator, whatever what his name is, but they didn't show up after the 2 touchdowns. They didn't show up, and because of that, what I expected Eagles to do yesterday is to run 3 yards at every 4th down, just get 3 yards, 2nd down, get 3 yards, and the 4th down and the 3rd down, get like maybe 4 yards. Get it going. Once you keep on throwing the ball, they will stop us because they knew that already.
They need to stop him, Desmond. Thanks for the call, man. And unfortunately, they just couldn't stop him. That was the big thing. They couldn't stop him. By the way, we talked about trolling earlier. And in case you missed it, the rat bastard Saints in New Orleans, they were in the locker room listening to Dreams and Nightmares, dancing along to Meek Mill, ski masks on, the whole thing, trolling the Eagles. They knew that would get back to the Eagles. Did you see what NBC Bears did yesterday?
Yeah, I responded. I took the trash.
NBC, you idiot.
I told them they were embarrassing themselves and oh. call it a night.
Okay.
Well, come on, guys.
Mic drop. But no, did you guys see this?
No.
NBC Sports Chicago, so like their Bears coverage division, they tweeted out a photo of Alshon Jeffery, the one with him lying on the ground after he dropped the ball.
Right.
Wow.
And they quoted, or they didn't quote, but they put that tweet out there, that photo out there, with the caption, "You okay, NBC Sports Philly?" It's not funny.
Trey kind of likes that.
That's not funny.
It's funny,
man. How is that funny? Why are you laughing?
You weren't expecting Trey to laugh.
No, what are you doing?
And he's
what are you doing? Listen to Mark. What are you doing, Trey?
I mean,
Trey, I needed you here.
No, look, that's good. So when we get our get back, let's remember all of this.
There's no get back.
When we get our get back next year when we go, let's remember all of this.
We don't need a get back. We got to get back last week when we got them back. What?
James Brown's dead. There is no get back.
What was it? What was the mascot's name? Sterling? What was it?
Staley.
Yeah. Staley. He's dead. We killed him. There's no get back.
Yeah. What do you want from me?
How do you look at something like this? And they're trying to troll us? Really?
What do you want
here's
from
the
me?
Best part about it. Here's the best part about it. Alshon Jeffery's not going to be going under the old GMA, Good Morning America, crying about how he dropped the ball. They know he's going to be out there practicing so he can become even better than the Alshon Jeffery we saw this season.
Yeah.
They want to troll us? Rearview mirror. They're way back in the wild card round of the playoffs, which seems like it was years ago after last night's experience, trolling us. That's what I have to say to that.
All right.
It's my rebuttal.
There you go.
Glenn, the Boulevard. Gentlemen, what's up?
Gentlemen, it's the morning after, and I got to tell you, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. At no time during that game, after that missed field goal, when we got the ball back, everybody still believed we were going to win. I'm texting with people in New Orleans in the stands. Eagle fans are saying we had the Saints fans shook. We had them shook at the beginning. We had them shook the entire time. That's why Lindetta was doing the trick plays, the fakery. We had them. We were in their head. That was our game.
Yeah. And by the way, Green Legion had a great fan base down there. They brought a bunch of fans down there. And Glenn, when it says the Boulevard on here, are you Roosevelt Boulevard up there?
Yeah.
Not a guy. Most people just say Northeast, but
sorry,
that's all right.
Maybe he's en route.
No, maybe. Glenn, thanks for the call, man. I feel like a lot of people are comforted by the trophy being in Philadelphia.
Right. And look, I'm getting a lot of stuff on Twitter saying, why are you angry that the fans aren't angry? I'm not angry.
I'm not angry.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised there isn't people that are saying they're more disappointed than proud. I'm surprised. That's all. And I think it'll change. I think come next year it changes. That Super Bowl goes way in the rearview mirror. I think once, like you said, OTAs, draft, all that stuff, the rearview mirror, it comes back to being the venomous Eagles fan that we all know and love.
I'm just surprised that Trey doesn't have the same feeling that I do of wanting to hack NBC Sports Chicago's Twitter account and just completely delete it from existence.
What do you want from him?
I want him to learn how to hack a Twitter account.
I don't know that.
Is there any team you won't cheer for now over the Saints? Like if the Patriots play the Saints in the Super Bowl, are you cheering for the Patriots?
I might buy a Tom Brady jersey. How about that? That's how much I hate the freaking Saints right now.
It is nice to have a new rival, isn't it?
It is. It actually is. Like I'll bask in that for a little while.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
All right, here's something even more. Okay. How about this?
Okay.
All right, Patriots are hated, as we all know. We lost, Philadelphia lost the Super Bowl to them. We hate Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're rooting for Andy Reid over him, right?
Yeah. Damn right.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. New Orleans wins.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans goes up against Andy Reid. Uh-huh. Oh, is this fan base now all of a sudden rooting for Big Red
Big
to win
Red!
A Super Bowl?
I'm pulling for Big Red anyway.
I've always pulled for him.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Big Red.
From day one. But as we all know, there's a lot of Eagles fans out there that don't think he can win and don't want him to win.
Yeah, I am not the biggest Andy Reid fan, and I've been quiet about that. Like it hasn't come up much in conversation since we've done this little program. But I would like to see him do well.
So would I.
Why aren't you a fan of Big Red?
Because I feel like he didn't utilize a guy named Trey Thomas well enough. Trey Thomas should have been allowed to make more decisions for that team.
Oh, no.
I think Trey Thomas should have drafted
tackle eligible.
No,
tackle
you didn't want eligible.
I would have liked to have seen that. I want to see you catch some passes.
No, no, I didn't want to catch a ball. My hands were casted anyway, and you didn't want the mindset of Trey back then when I was a player. So, you know, this is a much more reserved and refined person right now.
Were you not painting when you were a player?
Oh, no, no. Furthest thing from my mind.
Really?
He was throw punching.
The Renaissance man didn't start up to
took some French lessons at one point while I was, you know.
Did you? Why?
I don't know.
Just to kind of calm you down.
Why are they even teaching that in schools? I always my wife took French in high school, and I'm like, well, you're useless.
You want to sound smooth, man. Yeah, at least just something different, man.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
How many times in business are you going to be using French?
I don't know.
How many times in the world
are you
going to be using French?
Now in French, if I really knew it.
If you really did. So I'm guessing it didn't go well.
Had I paid attention, I would use it on you right now.
Yeah, our tutor would come down how she was never late. I'm like, man, this lady never runs into traffic.
I took French for 2 years. I couldn't tell you one sentence.
Yeah. Why? Why did you do it? Why did you take
French?
Because
the school made me.
Oh, yeah,
you
have
to.
It
was grade school.
You didn't
have... Seventh, eighth grade. There was French.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I think my kids took a foreign language in grade school also.
Yeah.
Well, no, we took Spanish.
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school. I switched.
Yeah, but you could choose some.
No, we had Spanish. That was it. Fifth grade to eighth. I took Spanish
for nine years.
Fifth grade to my senior year of high school.
Tell me, say a sentence.
Donde está baño, por favor?
Anything else?
No.
No.
And that's pretty much, I swear to you, I know more Italian now than I know Spanish. Yeah. And I taught myself Italian for 8 hours on a plane ride. You know why? Because I cared. I didn't care about learning Spanish.
I know Irish. I'll have another.
Now, I did learn one more beer in German.
Really?
Eins Bier bitte. There you go, kids. That was the only phrase I knew.
Gingerbrickasse.
You know, actually, I'll say this. When I was in Germany, this was really confusing to me. In Germany, they say hello. They'll say, like, hello, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that confused the hell out of me. Because I thought they just spoke English.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, hey, what's going on? Nice to meet you. Where are you from? And they'd be like,
Mark's like, sup?
Yeah. I was like, what's up, Dunn? Remember Dunn? I was talking about that with some people yesterday, as a matter of fact. Do people still say Dunn? 610-632-0975. Let's get to Jordan, KOP. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
For me, the season pretty much, like, ended just like it started. I feel like the offense kind of just sputtered out. Like, you start so fast, and then that long Saints drive just kills you. Like, you're off the field for so long, and then you're out of sync for a while. So, I don't know. The way I see it for the draft, I mean, you got to focus on... They got to get, like, a good running back. Maybe, like Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. Something just to get some firepower.
Okay. Yeah, no, Jamie and I have talked about this. We both think they're going second round running back.
Lock. Jacobs, Alabama.
He's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's something that we could definitely target in the offseason. Let me answer your question, Trey, before we got sidetracked on languages.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Andy Reid because I never saw improvement. And I always felt like, as a fan at the time, that we would be screaming for something, he would give us the attitude of we were idiots, and then he'd do it. And then they'd win. And perfect example is T.O. Number one wide receiver. And next thing you know, you guys are in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that was a good. The other thing was, as a fan base, we never felt like we were along for the ride. Like, that's one thing that we always want to feel included. Like, with Charlie Manuel in baseball, we felt like we were along for the ride. Like, we felt like we were in on it. With Doug Peterson now, that the way he winks at the audience kind of thing. He lets you know that you're involved in it. With Andy Reid, the only thing he ever said about fans was, and it always sounded like it was scripted, like the line was written for him, oh, well, it's the greatest fan base in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. And it was always the same type of thing. And the whole thing of not really answering questions, and I get he was protecting the locker room, but I always felt like there was a way to let the fan in more so than what Andy Reid did. And the run-to-pass ratio was always just bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't like Big Red.
So you don't like him because he kept you on the outside?
Kept you on the outside. I didn't like his play calling, and time management was always a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something he never improved upon. He was the type of guy to take you to the dance And then he'd be like, I'm going to go over there. I'll be at the buffet. And then like, you find someone else to dance with.
Is that a fat
like,
joke?
Thanks. A borderline.
That's just wrong.
A borderline. Hey, it was a buffet of fruit and vegetables. How about that?
See,
how about that?
When they were going through the run, like, all right, after the Super Bowl and then you, 6, 7, 8, you get back to the NFC Championship. Like, you know, my neighbors and all right, I'm done with this. You know, it's getting older. And my whole thing was, oh, really? You're really getting done with competing for a championship every damn year. Like, there's something to be said for that. Like, Reed not putting you over the top soured people to him, even though I don't think they appreciated him getting you close to the top almost every year. And look, when time ran out, and that was fine. Totally understandable. But I don't think he gets appreciated enough for getting them to that level for so many consecutive years.
Here's what he does not deserve 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt. He does not deserve from Philadelphia to be rooted against. And I have never rooted against him while he's been with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And people, I don't want to say pride, people take pleasure in watching him, and he did it last year again, do some of the mismanaging that he did here in Philadelphia, and I don't kind of understand that. But, like,
I understand
pointing it out, but to take pleasure in it, like, oh my God, did you see what he did again? And I get texts like that all the time from Fran, like, all right, you know, like, the guy's, again, you know, 11-5 or whatever it is. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
All right, Trey, why don't you like Andy Reid?
I love Andy Reid. What are you talking about?
Come on, what's one thing he did he didn't like?
What do you want from me?
He fined me like $50,000 my first year.
See that? That's what I'm talking about.
But I was a knucklehead, so I just...
Wait, was that cumulative or was that one thing?
No, it was a couple different things, yeah.
Trey, you had trouble being on time, didn't you?
No, I was always extremely punctual.
Okay.
It's just
the wrong socks.
Yeah, I was just doing stupid stuff.
Too many tacos on Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, I was just doing stupid stuff. You know, it was his first year. It was coming off of Ray Rose. Ray Rose was real lenient. He was just like, hey, whatever.
Hey, you're testing your boundaries a little bit,
And Big Red wasn't having it. So he fined me, like, all the time. And then, too, like, if you were overweight, because if you're weight issues, $100 per pound each time you weigh in.
Wow. Yeah. Now, does that come down from him face-to-face with you, or do you get like a slip in the locker? It's like, oh, you've been fined this much.
Oh yeah, you just get a slip in the locker.
Oh really?
Yeah, and it comes right out of the paycheck.
Yeah, it comes right out of the check. You don't even write a check. It just comes straight out.
That's cold blooded.
So he fined me pretty heavy his first year.
Should Trey hate Andy Reid? 6'2".
I was stupid. So you know,
look at you.
You appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, he was trying to take me somewhere.
Nice.
It's very good.
He's like, look, you see these wings? Come up on here. Let me try to help you. He'd always give me and McNabb the same speech about, you know, Reggie Wright and Brett Favre sit us down in his room and we'd have to sit and listen to that. It's cool.
Little snippet of that?
After the first five or six times, it didn't have the same effect.
Me and Favre would go up there, I'm like, oh, we're about to go hear the Reggie White and Brett Favre speech.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember when Andy Reid got a hold of Brett Favre after Brett Favre had already won two MVPs. All the good work Andy Reid did for him, man. Let me tell you. Let's get to Dave in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning to you guys.
Hey.
I'm a little upset this morning, only because I blame that loss solely on Doug Peterson. Like, his play calling was suspect all year. The game yesterday, his play calling after the 14 points was horrible. So I got to blame it all on him. I don't know why everybody is on Schwartz. I mean, he held the team, the Saints, to 20 points, which is a good job without your three starting defensive backs. I mean, Doug Peterson play calling, it just was horrible yesterday. It's just like his first 15 plays was his best, and after that, he just ran a vanilla offense to me.
I think the most indicting thing about Doug Peterson yesterday was the fact that the team wasn't ready to play in the second half. You deferred to the second half, and your second play of the second half, what are they doing? No idea.
No, I get that, but I mean, he's been doing it all year long. Just to me, the play calling was horrible. Like, for you not to score 0 points in 55 minutes, you're not going to win a preseason game like that. Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand the concept of that. You went 55 minutes without scoring a single point.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with sports. He can't play offense for you. I mean, the Eagles averaged 16 points in a playoff game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, David, thanks for the call. I don't care if Nick Foles is overthrowing guys left and right, similar to what he was yesterday in the second, third, and the majority of the fourth quarter. If he's doing that, you got to do something else to get that offense back on track. And this is one thing they did yesterday that they hadn't done in a while. They completely abandoned the run.
Yeah.
They just said, run, what do you care? Who needs to do that? And they had the lead, and they just let it go. They didn't do anything. Doug Peterson didn't do anything yesterday, whether it's running the Philly in the opening game of the season on Thursday night against the Falcons, or it's, I don't know, a flea flicker. He didn't do anything to change the tempo of the offense in this game. He just relied on Nick Foles, who was having one of the worst games we've seen him have in a long time.
And the disappointing thing real quick was in that in the opening two drives, the variety of plays with which they ran to get the touchdowns that they did. So something was working. A defense doesn't make adjustments and shut everything down. Why couldn't you go to your seams? Why couldn't you go to your outs, swing passes, dump offs, whatever it may be? Everything was working at the beginning. How all of a sudden nothing works is beyond me.
All right, coming up in a minute, if you haven't seen the stat regarding Nick Foles, we'll give it to you in a minute. He's again. Among the among some players that have never done this before in the NFL. He's one of three players to do this. It's absolutely incredible. Let's know what that is coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, here's something that just jumped out to me yesterday, and this is from the Elias Sports Bureau. They put this out here. Nick Foles joins future Hall of Famers Cordell Stewart and Freeman McNeil. Good old Freeman McNeil. As the only players in the Super Bowl era with a passing, receiving, and now rushing touchdown in their playoff careers.
Mm. How's everyone doing?
Excuse me, that's per NFL research.
Freeman McNeil, the Jets?
Jets.
Number 24,
damn right,
I
Jets.
Remember. Yeah, okay. Wow.
That and Cordell Stewart, of course.
That's pretty amazing.
Trey, are you blown
do
away?
For you?
Are you blown away?
What do you
that's
want
awesome.
From me?
What do you want from me? I just want you to hate the Bears as much as I do, Trey, that's all.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I think
Bears.
I,
you hate the Bears a
I hate
lot
the,
now,
I hate
too?
The Bears because,
and the Saints?
Well, the Bears because the Saints are probably my most hated team in the NFL right now.
All right, I'll give you that.
The Bears, I just don't like their Twitter account. Their NBC Sports.
Aw, a little trolling hurt you.
It did. It just pisses me off because it's so stupid
it
and
really
long.
Is it really is.
And after their kicker who lost, well, it got blocked. But he had to go on Good Morning America just to cry his eyes out to people. Chris wow. in Northeast. Yeah, you heard me. Chris, Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
How you doing? I put this loss more on Jim Schwartz than I do the offense for the simple fact Nick Foles lost two linemen yesterday, a real pro bowler in Brandon Brooks, whereas we've seen his defense give up the lead a couple of times this year. This is like one of the few times we've seen Nick Foles play without
The defense had to play with a guy who wasn't even in the NFL. As of December 11th, and they brought him in, and they immediately scored a touchdown. The defense went without Fletcher Cox for a little bit more than a quarter, which is when the Saints started to get momentum going. As Fletcher Cox wasn't playing in the middle of the field.
Yeah, because we couldn't get him off the field. How many third and longs did they convert because of Jim Schwartz play calling and that prevent defense where he has the corner
right.
10 yards.
If you want to rip Jim Schwartz for that third and long stuff, yes, that is something you could absolutely rip him for. But to be the number one reason why they lost yesterday, I cannot agree with that.
No, I hear your point there. I'm just saying I put it more on him than Foles because he lost two linemen. So I could understand him being a little more rattled back there with the pressure because he did lose a Pro Bowler and Jason Peters, you know, always coming out of the game and he was injured.
What happened to that magic with Nick Foles? I mean, he's still getting rid of the how fast did he get rid of the football trade? Did you track it yesterday by chance?
I did not track all of his throws, but I think he only had maybe one or two that was over three seconds. A lot of his throws were right around at 2.25 and under.
So that's par for the course for him.
Yeah, that's pretty much pretty standard where you want to try to get rid of the ball. So right around that 2.5 and under.
So he's still getting rid of football quick, Chris.
I just think
that affected him a little more with the crowd noise and then that, you know, the little extra pressure the Saints was bringing. I put it more, like I said, we've given up leads or we couldn't hold the team down when we had the lead a couple of times.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Chris. And that had been a problem throughout the season. And you can rip Jim Schwartz for that all you want, and you'd be right. And I would support you in doing that because I've done the same thing. And I'm not going to just stop doing it now because I think there was a bigger thing to blame than Jim Schwartz. That has been a problem. But still, if I'm going through, if I could have do-overs for this, it would be Brandon Graham picking up that fumble or right. falling on that fumble. And then it would be Nick Foles maybe playing a better game than he did overall, and not just playing well in the first two possessions.
16 in that interception, I'd like back to.
And gross. Chris, Jersey Shore, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Hey, I am both proud and angry. Let me explain real quick.
All right.
Here's how I understand it. I'm proud because out of all the games that were played yesterday, every single away team got blown out. It wasn't even close, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles, they show up, and they're playing the best offense. They just beat the best defense. But I'm angry. I'm angry because we had it. We could have beat St. Nick, could have beat the Saints. But here's what I'm thinking. Going into next year, I think Carson Wentz is angry. I think Carson is staying. I think he's the guy. And I think you could even tell how angry he was because he had those pimples all over his neck, right? He's
going to
come out.
There has been a lot made of those blemishes.
This is terrible.
Woogie.
This is terrible.
He's breaking out.
He's Woogie.
Blemish Woogie. Gate.
Yeah.
So next year, guys, I'll hang up and listen to you guys talk about it.
Horrible.
Next year, I think you're going to see Carson Wentz.
Pimple free?
If he can stay healthy, we're going to see this guy come out and prove everybody wrong. I do think Nick's going to get traded. I do think we're going to get some things. We love Nick. We got the statue of Nick. He's right next to Rocky Balboa forever, right? But I think next year Carson's coming out.
Popping.
And even though I'm angry, I think next year he's coming out angry, and he's going to prove everybody that he is the franchise quarterback.
I hope that's the case, Chris. Thanks for the call, man. Let's get to Joe in Center City. What's going on, Joe? How you feeling about the Birds right now, brother?
I was upset. Last night, like my buddy I watched the game with, he was like, "Are you sure I can leave you alone right now? Are you gonna be okay?" Like,
good for you, good for you.
But man, I just having to, I'm trying to look at like the bright side of everything, like trying to be like, all right, what's looking forward? And they're definitely gonna keep Carson. They're gonna trade Foles for a mid to late rounder, so that'll give us, I think, is that 10 picks? We have 10 picks or 9?
11.
With the compensatory. 11.
Yeah.
So that's a boatload of picks. That's a bunch of young faces. We're going to have a little bit of cap room, I think, maybe to sign Bennett, maybe someone else. We're going to get a bunch of people. It's going to be a really good look.
So I think Bennett has one more year.
Yeah, I think too.
Yeah, Bennett, I think, has one more year. Chris Long is done.
Okay. Well, regardless of any of that, they're going to have a bunch of fresh new faces. They're going to be able to execute again, and Carson's going to have a full off season of, you know, healthy development. But the biggest thing for me, the biggest thing I think that'll switch my mood from like melancholy to excited and just forgetting about all of this, Philly signed Bryce Harper. As soon as that happens,
here's the thing, Joe, and thanks for the call. I'm sorry, everybody. I might be alone here, but I don't want that to happen today.
Like you still need to resolve yourself from yesterday.
I need. I'm in a mourning phase right now, and you can't have happiness immediately when you're in mourning. I'm in mourning still. Tomorrow, I'll talk to you about it.
I'll take happiness whenever I can get it.
I'm selective with my happiness.
Are you?
You like to
spread out the mourning and the happiness.
Yeah, good with the bad. I believe in a mourning period. I believe in a long, drawn out mourning period, preferably 3 days. But for this, I'll go one. Because I know it could happen in any second, and the Phillies have emerged as the front runner, and that's great. But I have heard over the last, 12 hours, well, at least they might get Harper. And I'm like, shut up. Like, I don't want to hear that yet. Wow. I am not ready for that. I need to go through my full mourning phase when it comes to how the Eagles are playing right now or not playing anymore. Kristen in Boston. Boston, nonetheless. What's going on?
So I'm a Philly girl who's been living in Boston for 20 years and had the pleasure of going to see the Eagles win their first Super Bowl, which was just awesome.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
It was terrific. And my son even said, you know, I'm a Boston fan, but mom needs one for Philly. So something we've learned from New England people, existing among these people who just, I mean, take it, they assume that they're going to be in the playoffs every single year. And that was very different before the Red Sox won in 2004, because it was always the same type of things you hear from Eagles fan again and again, that you're always waiting for the wheels to fall off. You're always waiting for something to go horribly wrong. And so now that we've won one, and that, as you said, the Phillies are, you know, in the hunt and things are looking up and up, it's time to say, you know what? We're hungry. We've been there once. We like the taste of it. And yeah, but great, they made the playoffs, but we want more. We want it again and again and again. We want to have that dynasty that Trey was talking about.
Absolutely.
Earlier.
I think we're all there. And God bless you living up there amongst... Your son doesn't have like a Boston accent, does he?
No, thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Kristen, don't be a stranger. Thanks for the
call. Thanks, Kristen.
Cool, thanks.
All right, take it easy. 610-632-0975. Coming up, run through some more calls, and then we'll also let you hear what could have been Nick Foles' goodbye statement last night during his post-game press conference. We'll play that for you coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, Farzetta and Trey in the morning, talking all things Eagles on this Football Monday, brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. Super Bowl weekend. Guess what? Going to be in full steam ahead mode starting tomorrow. Friday, February 1st, we're hosting Philly's inaugural Super Bowl weekend and tailgate party at the Met in Philadelphia, right on Broad Street. The Fanatic is teaming up with the Philadelphia Cornhole League for the event. To register your team for a chance to play, go to 975thefanatic.com or also go to 975thefanatic.com right now to download your free tickets. Winners of the contest, guess what? Winners of the Cornhole Tournament, they're going to win $1,000 courtesy of Harris Casino. Championship rings from Steven Singer Jewelers. Trophies courtesy of Armor Metal. Prizes from Royal Billiards. Two pairs of passes, season passes, 2019 season passes to the Met. Also, two Honda Grom motorcycles, courtesy of DHY Motorsports. Check them out now at DHY.com. And for those in attendance, one lucky person will walk out of the Met in Philadelphia that morning with a two-year lease on a Honda Civic, courtesy of Burns Honda. How about that? All brought to you by Harris Philadelphia. Full-contact sports betting coming to Harris Philadelphia, the area's best sports wagering experience at the book. Opening this month, bet, party, win, repeat. Not too shabby. Let's get to Inge real quick here before we let you hear from Nick Foles.
Boy.
Inge, what's up, buddy? Inge?
This is Inge's best call ever.
Let him go, let him go.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Inge.
All right, thanks, Inge.
That's the most insightful thing you've ever said.
How you doing? Hello.
See what you did. Woke up. What's up, Inge?
Look, I got to tell you, there's nothing wrong with what happened yesterday. I mean, that's a football game. New Orleans was the number one seed for a reason.
Yeah,
the defense was really good at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Look, I take a lot of positives going forward here. Even I don't care. I guess I got to accept the fact maybe that Foles won't be here, and my main concern is that Wentz could be another McNabb. But going forward, I appreciate the fact that everything is going to be measured by how well this team does in the playoffs, in the postseason, which is a great culture to have. So I take a lot of positives going forward. The only thing that's depressing is just thinking about our winner teams, unfortunately, that we have to dismantle both of our teams mm-hmm. to get to that same championship level. It's depressing. But in terms of the Eagles,
nope.
Everything's positive.
You're dismantling the Sixers.
There's no All question. Right. If they don't trade Ben Simmons, Fultz, and maybe even Jimmy Butler,
this
team will not get out of the second round.
And if they do, they will.
You know what, Inge, you might be right.
Ben Simmons, if you're not paying attention, over the past month has been dominant.
Yes, that's happened. Romeo, Northeast Philly, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? I don't know how you can say that James Schwartz is not to blame for yesterday's game. The first play, the pick, the LeBlanc pick, that was a poor throw by Breeze. That dude was wide open. I don't, like...
LeBlanc went up and got that. And look, I'm not crediting Jim Schwartz for that. Evidently, they had the good coverage for it because they picked off Drew Breeze in his first pass of the game.
No, he was wide open. If Breeze puts it up 3 inches higher, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, well, if my aunt had, you know what's and what's it's what's.
Oh,
Joe,
wow,
Philly, you're on 975 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's on your mind today, brother?
I just have a quick question because yesterday was driving me crazy. I don't know if you guys have already brought it up or if somebody else has, but when they ran the ball and there was about 2:26 left on the clock, I think it was, I was screaming at the TV, just stop, 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 wait for the 2-minute warning.
Uh-huh.
And right before they ran that play, I'm like, no, I'm screaming. We have a whole bunch of people watching the game. Don't run the play. And they throw the pick. I just think they should have waited, let the 2 minutes hit, get a play together, get everybody calm, get everybody on the same page. I just want to know if you guys agree with that at all or if they made the right call running the play with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left.
Yeah, Joe, I actually think I've come around on that. I mean, I think the clock's going to run regardless, but you can have more control over when it's going to run. And the only counter-argument I had to it at the time was the idea that you might let the crowd back into the game. You take a 2-minute warning, the crowd gets hyped up again, they do a make some noise chant, whatever, and I think Doug Peterson was trying to take the crowd out of it. Let's get Evan in here real quick. Evan, Chapel Hill. Nothing for you there. All right, let's put a bow on the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do we got?
Today we asked which best describes your emotions, and we had just over 3,000 votes today. 70% say proud, 30% say angry.
Wow, listen to that.
Just missed it.
That's insane to me. All right, let's talk about our Schwartz-Colleton takeaways of the day. Schwartz-Colleton, call the get the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is that Trey Thomas eats one small pack of gum at a time. That is 5 pieces at one time. Do you know that?
He's a larger man.
Fun fact.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trey crushes gum. I didn't know that.
He's got the freshest breath in the Delaware.
Big red, too.
Yeah.
I learned that I changed as a fan today.
Wow.
If it wasn't for Super Bowl 52, I'd be in the corner sucking my thumb and crying.
Wow. Pathetic. Bob.
I learned that maybe the Eagles lost yesterday was due to the fact that they 4 out of 5 times with 3rd and 10 or more, the Saints got first downs when, through the weekend, everyone else in the NFL combined went 2 for 23.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
Wah.
Thank you, Sam. Trey Thomas.
Ah, man, I'm just proud of the fan base, man. You know, this is we had the best fans in the NFL, and I'm just proud of how they are handling this because this could be brutal.
It could be.
It could have been brutal. Yeah, but, you know, everybody's kind of taking it in his stride.
I learned today that I officially, for most likely at least the next 3 weeks, hate the New Orleans Saints more than I hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh.
Wow. Not a hot take. It's how I feel. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.